Merry Christmas, Shepherd. My name is Jeremy King. I'm the aforementioned California King. Although unlike the California King, which is narrower and taller than the regular King mattress, I did not get that gene, so I got the reverse. But I'm from California, I'm Jeremy, and I'm one of the pastors here at Shepherd. And if I haven't met you, I'd like to. And I'm grateful that you're here. Welcome. This season has been one of lots of interruptions. In fact, have you ever heard someone come into a room and say, "Pardon the interruption, but," and then you're like, "Uh-oh, what's gonna happen?" I feel like every day when I get up and I read the news, it's a "pardon the interruption, but." And we have seen interruption after interruption. And raise your hand in this room if your Christmas plans this year are significantly different than the ones from last year. Right? In fact, just this week, I had to cancel a trip that we were going to take to California to visit friends and family because of, guess what? COVID-19. And I know we're all sick of hearing that. But these interruptions keep coming and keep rolling. And for me, sometimes I feel like I just want to throw up my hands and be like, "Oh, Christmas." In fact, if you have your Christmas photo, they took mine this morning, it might look something like this. In fact, if you're with us online right now and you have your Christmas photo handy, why don't you post it in the comment section? We'd love to see your Christmas photos, and mail them in to us if you're a guest. We'd love to see your Christmas photos, except if they're like that. Maybe don't send us that one. Send us the smiling one. But interruptions happen all around us. And we can sometimes view them as negative or challenges to our plans, which many times they are. Hindrances, and they can be painful, the interruptions. They can be annoying all the way to life-changing. But these interruptions, there's often something going on underneath. And that's what we want to talk about with the Christmas story. See, the Christmas story is absolutely chock full of life's interruptions. At every step of the Christmas story, we hear the Christmas story as the, you know, we get the baby Jesus and we get the announcement and we get all the grandeur as Luke tells the story. Luke writes it in this classical Greek, like a biography of a great leader, because he's writing to the Greco-Roman world. He's writing to people who like to hear it in that style. But the real story of Christmas gets to be far messier. And it gets to be far more full of interruptions. We hear the best parts in Luke's gospel. But if you back up just a hair in Luke's gospel, we see the very first announcement. After 400 years of silence, God is about to break that silence and speak. God is about to begin to fulfill the promises. He's about to interrupt everyone's pattern, everyone's flow. And he's going to interrupt in the most beautiful way. But no one is expecting it. And there's this man, his name is Zechariah, and Zechariah is a priest at the temple. He'd be like a pastor today, except for he just got called up to the big leagues. He got to go to the temple in Jerusalem, and instead of just doing a peripheral role, he gets to be the guy who goes into the most holy place in the temple, and he gets to burn incense. Now, that was a big deal for him then. That's like going to the Super Bowl and singing the national anthem. And so he is at this key moment of his life, ready to go in. He goes in and he begins to burn incense and he begins to pray. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. An angel appears, and we find out later his name is Gabriel, which is my son's name, who's working the camera back there. And Gabriel, it literally means the mighty man of God or the intimidator of God. And so when Zechariah sees this angel, he falls on his face, and he's afraid. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." And the gospel goes on to talk about who John is, that John comes in the power of the Old Testament prophets, and he's going to make the way for the coming king, the Savior. But this interruption into Zechariah's practice comes at this time where he wasn't ready for it. And sometimes it'd be like, if I'm doing my thing here and all of a sudden an angel shows up, would we all be shocked? I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool, but I might be tempted in that moment to say, "Angel, I'm kind of busy right now. I'm doing the church thing." You see, these interruptions catch us off guard. And yet, God is breaking through and he's speaking when he hasn't spoken through a prophet in 400 years. Or I think about Mary. See, when Mary first finds out that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of Jesus, she had her plan all laid out. Her plan was probably laid out for her. She was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Joseph was a builder, a carpenter, and he was making a good living for himself. Her life was about to start. She had her way mapped out. In that day, a builder was a really good job. And so they would have done all right. They would have started with nothing and built up. But the angel comes to her. And this is in Luke chapter 2. And the angel comes to her and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." You see, her first instinct is to be confused and to be scared, because this announcement, this interruption into her life, is actually dangerous for her. She could lose her life, because you know what the community is going to think when they find out that she's pregnant. They're not going to think, "Oh, it's of the Holy Spirit. Sure, this is God." In fact, that would be the least from their mind. See, though she was betrothed and technically married to Joseph, they had not yet had their wedding celebration, and so there was an expectation that they would not come together. And so now her life has been totally disrupted, and she's been lifted into this path where she could be shamed, where she could be vulnerable. And Joseph's in no better situation. Joseph, as a young man, as a builder, as someone who had a good name in the community, he's ready to make his life. And I love what Matthew says about him when his interruption comes. See, Matthew, when he finds out that Mary's pregnant, it says this in verse 19. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He would nullify the engagement. That's what that meant. And he would do it quietly. He would not make a public accusation, because if he did and spared his own name, then the whole community could stone Mary. You see, he took this path of higher righteousness. He did more than what the law was required. He took this interruption, and He wanted to do what was good and right. And so then, because of that, it says, as he considered this, an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her womb is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Notice, what is the message from the angel to all three of these people? What's the first thing the angel says? Do not be afraid. Why do you think that is? Because they were petrified. Because they're hearing news that their life is about to be drastically different than they had ever imagined. And even when it's good news, it can scare you to death. I remember when I found out Michelle was pregnant with Gabe, and I was overjoyed and petrified at the same time. I had no idea what it was to be a father. You see, these interruptions happen all throughout the Christmas story. The shepherds are in the fields watching their flocks by night, and they're interrupted with choirs of angels who give them a task to go and tell everyone what they have seen and heard. And the interesting thing about the shepherds is they would have no standing in their community to be heralds. They were considered the lowest of the low in their culture. They lived lonely lives away from everyone. And yet, their interruption is to push them out of their comfort zone, to push them to proclaim, to be announcers of the coming king. I mean, if you were writing a story about a coming king, these are all the wrong characters playing all the wrong parts, doing all the wrong things. The only character that would have fit would be the Magi from the East. And they're from a whole different religion even. And so they've been watching the stars. They've been holding the old Hebrew prophecies from the time that the Hebrew people were with them. And they've been waiting. And their interruption was it would have taken them months, maybe years to travel. Lots of resource invested in the gifts that they brought. And yet they, even though they were pagan from far away, that they could see that this interruption was more than just an interruption. That this interruption was really an invitation. And I wonder for us, if what seems like interruptions in our lives to our plans can really be invitations to God's plan, which is much bigger. And even though we might say to ourselves, oh, well, we're not big, we're not a big name. We're not big of part of this big story. But yet, that's the opposite of what the Bible shows us about this story, is that every one of us is invited in. Every one of us in the interruptions of our life actually have an opportunity to fold in to God's heart for us, to fold in to God's story. And that's a good and beautiful thing. If you look at the reactions of each of these characters, if you look at Zechariah's reaction and Mary's reaction and Joseph's reaction, all of them, they could have seen this interruption as something bad, something to be avoided, something to get away from. And yet each one of them embraced it as an invitation. I love what Mary says. Mary says to the angel, "Let it be to me as you have said." I love what the angels say. They say, "Let us go and see this thing that has been told to us." Even Zechariah, when he hesitates a little bit, and he's like, "Well, I don't know, angel," he still gets called in and gets to be part of this story. And when his mouth is opened after his son is born, he spends 10 months mute. He bursts forth in song about how good God is. That's what it is to receive an invitation. I was thinking about where all this began, and it began with a promise of an invitation centuries before with the prophet Isaiah. Listen to what Isaiah says about the coming Messiah, the one who would be the Savior. He says, "The people are walking in great darkness, and they have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a new light has dawned." I don't know about you, but sometimes 2020 has felt like I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, and for some, many, it's literally true. that as loved ones get sick, or as people we know, that it seems like the times are dark. And it's for those very times that God has promised the light of the world. I love just a few verses later, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us is given, and the government or the authority will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of his authority and peace, there will be no end." And it goes on to talk about those promises. I want that in my life. I want that sort of interruption. I want the interruption that pulls me out of my self-thinking, of like my agenda. Even this morning I had an interruption. Last night, you know, we had a snowstorm. If you didn't know, we had a little bit of a snowstorm last night. And I'm from California, so I'm like, what do I do with this thing? And I had made the error of not actually installing my snowblower onto the lawnmower. So this morning I'm out there and it's like -1 degree. I'm trying to put this snowblower on and I'm terrible interruption and I'm in the worst mood ever. And it's because I'm looking at it the wrong way. It's Christmas. And I'm letting those kind of things get to me. But yet I'm reminded again that the thing we've been building to, that all of these interruptions, really there's a heart to Christmas. In fact, there's an intentional interruption on God's part to interrupt us from that self-thinking, to interrupt us from those patterns so that he can fill us full of hope, full of love, full of joy, and full of peace. That's the invitation of the Christmas story. In that same passage in Isaiah, that same prophecy, just a few verses before, it talks about God as Emmanuel. Now, that we hear that name, but that name means God with us in Hebrew. That is the greatest invitation of all. That God is coming to us low and slow. He isn't coming as a conquering king. He isn't coming big. He's coming vulnerable as a baby. One that needs love, that needs to be received. In fact, Jesus later in life, he would say, unless you receive the kingdom in the same way that you would receive a child, you can't take it in. He comes to us low and slow. He wants to invite us closer and in. He wants us to see the world not from the perspective of all of the interruptions that we have, but all of the invitations that he's giving us through them. What Emmanuel means, God with us means, is that even in the hard times, even when things are hard, that God promises that he's right there with us, that he's shouldering the burden with us. Have you ever received an invitation in your life? Like a really important one. Like not just the kind that we normally get at Christmas and like this Christmas party, but like a life-changing invitation. I was thinking about when I was a younger man, a kid. I was in 9th grade, and those of you who are here at Shepherd have actually seen photos of me in 9th grade in sermons, and it's not a pretty picture. I was definitely an awkward teenager. You might argue that I'm still an awkward adult. But I went to church camp in my 9th grade year for the first time. And I felt like an outsider. I wasn't cool like the other kids. I grew up in Huntington Beach, and so they were all surfers. I didn't know how to surf. I didn't do any of that. And so I go to this church camp for the first time, and I have almost no friends. And there was this guy, Dan. And Dan was the cool senior. He was a surfer, Dan Dugmore, and he drove a Volkswagen bus, you know, with all the windows around. And well, you know what he did is he invited me to ride with him. And so me, this little 9th grader, gets invited to ride in the Volkswagen bus. And then he invited me to learn how to surf. Now, that's a whole other story. It was terribly painful. And if you had video of it, you would love it. But I would cringe. But I felt like I was being brought from the outside in. This is the power of the Christmas story. What might your current interruption be actually an invitation to God's peace, love, and presence this Christmas? Maybe like Dan, God is saying, hey, come ride with me. And then what he wants to do with that in you is make you feel like you belong and then make you into an inviter, just like the shepherds. You know, that story stuck with me with Dan. And all throughout my high school years and later, it really changed my posture towards people who are on the outside because I knew what it was like to be invited in. And in fact, I have an invitation here. It's my wedding invitation. I had to dig through last night the boxes of stuff. Now, don't look too close because we made it ourselves, so it's not professional. So Michelle and I had like nothing when we got married. And so we made all our own invitations and we invited the whole church. It was a smaller church, so it was like only 270 people. But they all said yes. And so what happened, usually like 10% of people say no. Yeah, and so we started to run out of food. And so we're at the wedding. That's like the worst thing ever. I feel like this is a story that Jesus did with wine. Anyway, I just had that thought. Anyways, here's the thing. All the people who were part of the wedding, like all of our friends, all the church ladies, they went to the kitchen of the church and started making more appetizers and making more food. Why? Because they'd been invited in and then they became inviters. That this idea of grace and truth and love and all that stuff, when it's received, it multiplies. That's what John is saying when he introduces his version of the Christmas story. I want you to hear this. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he's with God through the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness cannot understand it. And that's a beautiful picture, that his light is the life of men. This is the light of the world. This is why we use lights, candles at Advent. And then in the end of that introduction, it says, and the Word became flesh and made his home among us. You see, Jesus was the light of the world. But you know what he also says? He says, I am the light of the world in John 8 and John 9 and all over. But he also says this. He says that you are to be the light of the world. Talk about the best invitation ever. Would we receive his invitation so that his grace and truth, by the way, at the very end of that John, it says he was full of grace and truth. Would we receive his invitation so that his grace and truth would pour out of us this Christmas? And all those interruptions that we experience, that we would begin to view them as invitations. Invitations to go deeper and let God marinate our soul in hope, in peace, in joy, and in love. I want that kind of life. And I don't just want it for me, I want it for my friends and my neighbors. And that's his invitation to us this Christmas. And every Christmas, and every day in between each Christmas. That he be born anew in us. And that the light of the world would shine through us as we're the light of the world. In fact, to that end, let's just pause and begin to pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to us low and slow. In this year full of interruptions and full of hard things, God, thank you for reminding us at Christmas that you bring us an invitation that's for every person, both small and great. And God, we pray that you might even right now show us on our heart a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, someone who needs to be invited in, someone who feels on the outside looking in. God, make us into and let your light become our light. Help us to be the light of the world as you are the light of the world. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.